Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shur. Maseches Rosh Hashanah has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yehuda Koenig in loving memory of Malka and Aaron Zvi Krausman.
Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph. In our sugya, we find three machlokes in between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Number one, Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua argue when Brias HaOlam was, according to Rabbi Lezer, B'Tishrei Nivra HaOlam, and according to Yeshua, B'Nisan Nivra HaOlam. Of course, they're not really arguing about when the actual Bria of the world was, rather when the day of Brias HaAdam was, because if you hold that B'Tishrei Nivra HaOlam, then the world was actually created on Chaf Hei Be'Elul, and then the Yom Brias HaAdam was on Rosh Hashanah. And we refer to that as the day of Brias HaOlam because man gives meaning to the whole Bria. Take a look at the Marsha over here. The second machlokes they have is when the Avos, Avram and Yaakov, were born. It's Mavur in the Braisa that on Pesach Yitzchak was born, but the machlokes are Belezer and Rabbi Yeshua whether Avram and Yaakov were born in Tishrei or they were born in Nisan. According to Belezer, once again, it happened in Tishrei, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, in Nisan. That's actually the way that Rashi learns. The Chidah has a very innovative pshat to explain what it means that the Avos were born in Tishrei or in Nisan, even though we say that Yitzchak was born on Pesach, according to everybody. He doesn't want to say that the Avos refers only to Avram and Yaakov. What he says is that although Yitzchak was born on Pesach the first time, nevertheless, at the time of the Akedah, it was Parcha Nishmasa. He lost his life and he had a rebirth, and that rebirth was in Tishrei, according to Rabbi Lezer, like the rest of the Avos. A kopanim, this is machlokes number two, when the Avos were born. Machlokes number three is when the Geula is going to be. According to Rabbi Lezer, B'Tishrei Asidin L'Higoyel, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, B'Nisan Asidin L'Higoyel. Everything else in the Braisa, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree to, namely that Yitzchak was born on Pesach, B'Rosh Hashanah Nifkida Sarah Rachel V'Chana, B'Rosh Hashanah Yotza Yosef Mibesa Asurim, and B'Rosh Hashanah Batla Avoida Me'aveseinu B'Mitzrayim. Now let's try to figure out if there's any common denominator between the three places where Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua argue. Are they three separate machlokesim, or are they l'shitasim? So before we begin to explain what the machlokes may be, let's first try to understand a little bit about the difference between Nisan and Tishrei. We all know that Tishrei is a time of din. Yom HaDin is on Tishrei, is Echad B'Tishrei. As the Mishnah tells us later, all of civilization, Kol Boi Oilam or Oivrin Lefanav Kivnei Morain on Aleph B'Tishrei, on Rosh Hashanah. The mazel of Tishrei is Moiznayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kaviyachol weighing the Maisim of people. Moiznayim is a scale, it's a mechanism used to weigh things. Now from the perspective of Din, a person only receives that which he deserves. If it's yours, I'll be Din, you get it. If it's not, you don't. There's no handouts. And although Hashem built into the Yimei HaDin the option of tshuva, nevertheless, the person has to go through a certain process in order to achieve kapara. His madrega will not change without his own intervention. Now, it is true that Hashem, Berachmav HaMerubim, was willing to go much further than a person's own maisim, as Chazal tell us, that Hashem says to us, Pischulu Pesach kechudah shel machet, open up for me an opening like the point of a needle, v'ani eftach lechem pesach kepischa shel ulam. Once a person starts the process, then he receives siyata d'shmaya far beyond the amount of effort that he puts in. But it's got to start with the person's initiative. And that is because it's a time of din. If the person puts in no effort whatsoever, then he's undeserving of Hashem's siyata d'shmaya. In contrast to this, Nisan is a time of complete chasodim. We know that in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael was considered very unworthy. In fact, even by Kriyas Yamsef, it says there was a Kitra Gandan, the Malachi Asher said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't see much of a difference between these people and the Egyptians. Halalo Avdei Avodah Zarah, Halalo Avdei Avodah Zarah, etc. Klal Yisrael at that time was described as being on the Memtes Sharei Tumah, which is almost the point of no return. And because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened us up to a whole nother world, the opposite of the world of Tishrei, and that is the world of Nisim, Nisim Geluyim. The Gemara says in Perek HaRoyeh that if a person sees the word Nisan in a dream, Nisim, Nisim Nasaloy, he's going to be exposed to miracles, because that's what Nisan is all about. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu at work without man having to do anything. The mazel of Nisan is Tzaleh, which is a sheep. And that symbolizes the fact that we're totally led by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are not proactive on any level. This difference is usually described as being the difference between Isarusa de la'ela and Isarusa de l'sata. In Tishrei, we need Isarusa de l'sata. L'sata means down here. We need man to be ma'orer something. Once there's a Isarus milamata, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. Nisan is Isarusa de la'ela. That's actually one of the reasons given to explain why we find that the Torah refers to the Yom Tov of Pesach as Shabbos. When we talk about Sfira, the Torah says, Musfartim lechem imachras ha-Shabbos, which refers to the day after Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach. And that is because the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is that Shabbos is kviya v'kaima. Shabbos is something that doesn't require human action at all, as opposed to Yom Tov, which requires us to create Yom Tov. Asher tikru oisem b'moyadom. Pesach is a Yom Tov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who creates it fully. Ani v'loy malach, ani v'loy saraf, it's all Isarusa de la'ela. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Baruch Hu Meshbizher has a very interesting pshat, al derech haremez, in the pasuk that is said by Makas Bechoris. Over there, it's describing the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to skip over the doors of Klal Yisrael, since they have blood on the Mashkev and Shtei HaMezuzos, and it says, U'pasach Hashem al HaPesach, he's going to skip over the doorways. Says Rabbi Baruch Hu Meshbizher that U'pasach Hashem al HaPesach means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the Yom Tov of Pesach, was willing to skip over al HaPesach, on the Pesach. Which Pesach? The Pesach that ordinarily a Jew has to open up. We said before that generally speaking, the process has to be Pischuli Pesach, Kechudei Shel Machat, V'ani Eftach Lechem Pesach Kepischa Shel Ulam. Over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to forego the need to open up the Pesach, even Kechudei Shel Machat. And that is because Pesach is a time of total Isarusa de Le'ela. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at work and he doesn't even need our Maisim. On Pesach we experience a tremendous Ava. We read Shir HaShirim on Pesach because we experience the unconditional love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us no matter what Madrega we're on. Now the Bnei Yisoschar says a fascinating remez in the Sefer Agra de Pirka, in section Shin Zayin. And the same remez could be found in the Sefer Avodis Yisrael from the Kasher Tzemagid in Parsha Zohar. And we will adapt the remez that he says to our discussion. As we know, there are many madregas in how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megala himself to the person. And we actually experience those madregas while we daven. We say in the Shemone Esrei, Melech Oizer Umeshia Umogin. At first, we experience Hashem as a melech, because first and foremost, he rules all of creation. After things get a little bit closer to us, get a little more personal, we experience him as an oizer. He's interested, he's actively involved in helping us. Then we say Moshia. The reason why this is a higher madriga is because Oizer symbolizes the idea that Hashem helps a person, similar to the process that we described that happens in Tishrei. Pischuli Pesach Kechudei Shel Machat. The person has to do his part, he has to put in his effort, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. That's what Ezra means. Ezra is the idea of helping. Moshia, on the other hand, is a higher madrega because it denotes the idea that Hashem is a savior. He doesn't require our actions. He doesn't need our effort. He's just Moshia. He brings about a salvation. Of course, the highest madrega is Magen, where Hashem protects us from evil. He doesn't even have to help us. He doesn't have to save us. He protects us from ever coming in contact with evil. So in terms of the difference between Tishrei and Nisan, we can say that Tishrei is the idea of Hashem acting as an oizer, as a helper, and in Nisan is the idea of Hashem acting as a Moshiach. Says Bnei Yisoschar in that piece that this is the oimik as to why Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says B'tishrei Nivra Ha'olam, because Rabbi Eliezer's name contains within it the idea of Oizer, and Rabbi Yeshua holds that B'nisan Nivra Ha'olam. Rabbi Yeshua's name contains the idea of Yeshua, which means that Rabbi Eliezer, because of his Shorash HaNeshama, was more connected to the idea of man investing his own effort and HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping him. Mashenkin Rabbi Yeshua was more open to the idea of Hashem acting as a savior. He also explains why it is that we find that in the time of Yehoshua, Klal Yisrael were zoicha to nisim gluyim, as opposed to at the time of Ezra, the second time that they came into Eretz Yisrael, the Nisimu on a much, much lower scale. The reason is because Yeshua comes from Lashon Yeshua, and Ezra has the word Oizer in it. And it's actually not surprising that the first thing that happens when they come into Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua is that they bring the Karban Pesach, because the whole idea of Yeshua is shayach to the Inyan of Nisan of Karban Pesach, whereas in Ezra you find that there was a whole stress on the idea that they should observe Rosh Hashanah. Take a look in Sefer Nehemiah Perek Ches. Now let's explain this a little more. Tosfos later on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Dibra Matzchil Keman, points out that we have a stira between the piyut that we say on Geshem, on Shmini Atzeres, and the piyut that we say on Pesach. And both of them, he says, were authored by Rabbi Elazar Kalir, and yet Rabbi Elazar Kalir was miyaseid a piyut on Shmini Atzeres that suggests that the world was created by Tishrei, like Rabbi Eliezer. And yet, on Pesach, Rabbi Elazar Kalir has a piyut in which it's mavur that the world was created in Nisan, like Rabbi Yeshua. So how can we say both of those? Tosfos answers, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the elu ve'elu divrei likim chayim. Both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua are correct. It's just, he says, ve'ikol omeru de betishrei ala b'machshava livrois v'loy nivra ad Nisan. So now we have a whole other layer of understanding. Tosfos is telling us that there are really two stages in Briyas HaOlam. There is the plan of Briyas HaOlam, the machshava, when things were designed, and then there was the execution of that plan. Whenever you create anything, the creation begins with machshava. There is the conception of the thing. The person has a vision of what he would like to do, and he has a purpose and a goal in the creation of that particular thing. And then there's a stage in which he puts his goal and his vision into action. Tosfos is telling us that the conception of the world happened in Tishrei. And indeed, in the Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, we refer to the Aleph Tishrei as Haras Olam. Haras means pregnancy, like Heroyon. And it's the conception of the world. And this actually fits very well with what we explained already, because we know Chazal tell us that Betchila Ola B'machshava Livrei Asa'olam B'midas Hadin, as Rashi brings down in Parashas Bereishis, that Hashem originally, it was Ola B'machshavtoi to create the world with Midas Hadin, Ro She'en Olam Eskayim, and he was Mishatef Midas Hadin together with Midas Harachamim. Now, that does not mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan and he changed his mind. Rather, it means there are two worlds and two dimensions. There's the world of Machshava. There is the ultimate goal of creation and the conception of creation, the plan, the way things are supposed to look in a perfect world. And that is created with Midas Hadin, which is Tishrei. Whenever a person writes the plans for something, for example, if he designs a house, the plans that he writes are always done in the way that he would like it to look in a perfect world. Although he knows that when the house is actually built, being that human beings who build the house are not perfect, it is impossible for it to look exactly the way that it does in his plans. But in the plan, he can demand perfection. He makes a drawing of exactly the way he'd like the building to look. He understands, though, that inevitably there are going to be slight deviations when the building is actually built, which are a result of human imperfection. And that is Midas HaRachamim. Midas HaRachamim is there to accommodate the human imperfections. So when it says, Ro She'en Olam Miskayim, and he was Mishatefit with Midas HaRachamim, it means that on a practical level, Din cannot ensure the world's continuity. Because as far as Din is concerned, if things are not perfect, they cannot exist. In fact, the Gemara says in Menachos, Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis, B'shah Sha'ala Moshe Lamorim, when Moshe Rabbeinu went to be Mekabel the Torah in Shemayim, Mitzoy LaKadosh Baruch Hu SheYoshev V'Koshe K'sarim LaOsius, he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu making tagim on the Osius of the Sefer Torah, and he asked Hashem, Amar Lefanav Ribono Shel Olam, Mi Ma'akev Al Yodcha? As Rashi explains, why do you have to add anything to the Osius? Who is going to be Ma'akev Masha K'savta She'ata Tzorech LaHosif Oid Aleim K'sarim? You have to add K'sarim as if it's not enough with what's written already. Amar Lai, he told him, Adam Echad Yesh She'osid Liyos B'soif Kamadoiris V'Akiva Ben Yosef Shmoy. There's somebody named Akiva, that's Rabbi Akiva, Sha'asid Ludresh, I'll call Koitz for Koitz Tilin Shal Halachis. Rabbi Akiva is going to dash him from every Koitz Many dinim. Amar lefanav ribbono shlolem. Hareli, show him to me. The Gemara continues the story. At the end of the story, Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, ribbono shlolem, harisani teirasa, you showed me his Torah. Hareini schare, show me now his schar. And the Ribbono Shlom shows him that they were shoiklin besari b'makulin, the butchers were selling his basar. So he met such a tragic end. And Moshe Rabbeinu says to Ribbono Shlom, zu toyer v'zu schara. On my lay, the Ribbono Shlom answered him, shtoik, be quiet, kach ola b'machshava lefanai. Mefarshim explained that kach ola b'machshava lefanai means that Rabbi Kiva was from the Yechidei Segula that was capable of being treated with complete midas hadin. Midas hadin was the thing that was ola b'machshava lefanav. As we explained, there is a world of ola b'machshava. However, the olam cannot be miskayim using that ola b'machshava because midas hadin demands perfection. Rabbi Kiva was close enough to perfection that he was capable of withstanding the uncompromising midas hadin. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means when he says kach olo b'machshava lefanai. He means to say that Rabbi Kiva is being subject to the world of machshava as opposed to the compromising midah of rachmim, which allows for most people to exist. So now that we know that there are two worlds, there is the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's original plan, the world of perfection, the world of olo b'machshava, which is a product of midas hadin. And then there's the execution of his plan, bringing it to practical metzias, which requires the compromising midas harachamim. And we also learned that the midah that is dominant in Tishrei is midas hadin, as opposed to Nisan, which is dominated by chesed verachamim. So it makes a lot of sense what Tosfos says, that elo ve'elo diver lekim chayim, both Reb Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua are correct. It's just that Reb Elezer, who says b'tishrei nivra ha'olam, is true on the machshava level, and Rabbi Yeshua, who says b'nisan nivra ha'olam, is correct on the lamaisa level, because the conception of the world is a product of midas hadin, which happens during Tishrei, and the birth of the world happens in Nisan, which is a product of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed. And to take this a step further, Rabbi Lezer, we know, is a Talmud of Beis Shammai. As Tosfos says in Shabbos Daf Kof Lamed Amud Beis, that the Gemara over there, when it says Rabbi Lezer Shamutehu, he brings a Yerushalmi that says that he was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, was a Talmud of Beis Hillel, as is Mavur in the Tosfos Rosh, brought down by the Shittim Kubetzes in Bab Metzia Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. The difference between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is that Shammai is all about Midas Hadin, as the Gemara relates in Perek Bamem Adlikin Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, that there was a famous story of the guy that came in front of Shammai and asked him to be Megayer him, Amanas, that he should teach him Kol HaTorah Kula while he's standing on one foot. Shammai's reaction was, Dochvei ba'amas habinyan shebiyodoi. He pushed him with the measuring stick that was used for buildings, and he wouldn't talk to him. Hillel, on the other hand, was Mekarev him, and he explained to him certain basics about Torah, the Aloch Sani, Lechavruch Leisavid. If you look through that Gemara, you'll see that Shammai had no tolerance for this person's shortcomings, and that's because Shammai stood for Midas Hadin. In fact, the metaphor of Amas HaBinyan is, like we explained, when you measure a binyan before building it, you're in the planning stages, you employ Midas Hadin, and therefore Shammai could not tolerate this person. On the other hand, Hillel is the one who says in Pirkei Avos, "Hevei mi talmidiv shel Aaron, oyev shalom v'roidiv shalom, oyev esabrias mekarvan laTorah." As a matter of fact, the Chiddush Arim says that Shammai and Hillel, their shorish and neshama was from Moshe and Aaron, respectively. Shammai came from Moshe, and Hillel came from Aaron, and that's because, as the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says in Parshas Zayis Abracha, Moshe is referred to as Ishho Elohim. Elohim is Midas Hadin. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only other person, aside from Rabbi Akiva, who would be able to withstand Midas Hadin. Aaron, on the other hand, is the one who is capable of compromising. Chiddush Arim says a remez that when Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Hashem, and he says that he cannot speak, he says, Loi ish dvarim anoichi. The soif tevis of Loi ish dvarim anoichi is Shammai. And what that means is that Shammai exists in din, in the Olam HaMachshava, sometimes not allowing for that machshava to be properly expressed through dibur. Because even dibur, sometimes in an effort to express loftier ideas to the imperfect listener, has to resort on some level to a deviation from the pure, complete din machshava. Sometimes you have to use mishalim. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu was not in Ish Dvarim. Masha Enkein Aaron, it says over there, Hu Yieh Lecho Lepeh. Aaron was the one who was Moshe Rabbeinu's assistant in explaining things to people. And says the Chiddush HaRim, Hu Yieh Lecho Lepeh is Rosh HaTevis Hillel. So Shammai and Hillel come from Moshe and Aaron, and Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua come from Shammai and Hillel. Lefizah, we can understand as well the Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Over there, there's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai say Shamayim Nivru Tchila, and Beis Hillel say Aretz Nivru Tchila. Shamayim is the world of perfection. It is the Tachlis. Shamayim, says Maral, comes from Lashon Sham. It's the plural of the word Sham. Aretz is the world of process. It comes from the Lashon of Ratz, running, or Ratzain, which is the desire to get to a certain Tachlis. Beis Shammai lives in the world of Tachlis, in the perfect world of Shamayim. Just like Rabbi Lezer holds that Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, actually embrace the imperfection of this world, because ultimately the purpose of this world is all about the imperfection, the process, the Aretz. Now, if you're carefully medayik the Mekoris that are brought in our Gemara for the Shittas of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, you'll notice a very interesting thing. Rabbi Lezer says, Minayin Shabbat Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam, Shenemar Vayomer Alikim Tadshei Ha'aretz Deshe, Esev Mazriya Zera Eitz Peri. Rashi explains that he's being medayik the lashon of Eitz Pri, which is mashma, a tree that was nigmar period, a tree that already has its fruits on it. And the Gemara explains, what month is it in which we see the fruits already on the tree? That's the month of Tishrei, when things are already finished. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, brings a different pasuk. Minayin shebin nisa nivra ha'olam, shenemar v'toytzi ha'oretz deshe, esev mazriya zera ve'eitz oise pri. Eitz oise pri, Rashi says, v'loi eitz pri gomer. Rabbi Yeshua is medayik the pasuk that talks about the beginning of the process, and that's in Yemei Nisan. And if you read through the story of Bria Sa'olam, you'll notice a very interesting thing. You find that there's always two stages. First, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a maimer. He says, Toitzei Ha'aretz Deshe. He expresses his rotzen for things to be a certain way. And then the pasuk describes how those things came into being. The mamorim, the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzen, are always described as Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, etc. Because Elokim is Midas Hadin, that stage in Bria is the design of how things should look in a perfect world. And as we explained, on the level of Machshava, things are perfect. So during the Mimer stage, when Hashem says, Tad Sheh Ha'aretz Deshe, we hear about the final product, the perfect world of Eitz Peri. However, when the Machshava is executed and it actually takes place, the way that Hashem wants it to happen is with Midas HaRachmim. As the Pasuk says, B'yoyim Asois Hashem Elokim Eretz V'shamoyim. And that's why Rabbi Yeshua's Pasuk is the Pasuk that talks about when it actually took place. V'toytzei Ha'aretz Deshe Eitzem Mazriya Zera V'eitz Oise Peri. So Rabbi Lezer is focused on the Machshava, he's focused on the Maimer of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's focused on the Din aspect, Vayomer Elokim Tad Sheh Ha'aretz. Masha Enkin Rabbi Yeshua is focused on the Lamaisa, things being brought into action, into practical reality, Metzias. And of course, that is the time of Nisan. Nisan is a time of actual rebirth of the world. The spring is when things start rejuvenating. Up until the spring, things were not in a state of Chiyus. Now take a look at the Maral in the Chiddush HaGadus over here in our Sugya. The Maral introduces an angle which very much complements everything that we've been saying. The Maral explains that Tishrei and Nisan are keneged the Rosh and the Lev. He says that the name Tishrei is even doime to the word Rosh. There are two Evarim in a person that the rest of the body is dependent on. The Rosh, which has the Moyach, it has the brain, and the Lev, which has the heart, which is the life force. He says, Nisan is keneged the Lev. That's where you have the Chiyus. That's where the world begins to rejuvenate itself. That's when you see Hachzoras Chiyus Shel Ha'olam. Ad Hasha'ahi B'chayrif, until that point, says the Maral, Nechshvu Kemesim. The world is considered like dead. And he says that Rebbe Lezer holds that being that Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, it's keneged the Rosh, the Moyach, it makes sense for the Bria to have come from that month. And he adds that the Shvi, the seventh month, which Tishrei is Kadosh, because all Shvi's are Kadosh. He explains, he brings a Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra that says that the seventh day, the seventh month, the seventh year, all of these are Kadosh. And Kadosh means that they're Nivdal, they're separate from reality. Shabbos is Me'en Olam Haba, Shemitah is a time that we escape from the regular mundane world, and the neshama is in the mayach, the part of the person which is kulei ruchni, which is a chelik alekamimal, and really has nothing to do with his guf, nothing to do with this world, is in the roish. And as such, the roish symbolizes being nivdal. And that's why Tishrei is capable of being the haras oilam, the point in time in which the perfection, the din, is expressed, because din has very little to do with reality. So just like Shabbos represents the Tachlis, Me'ein Olam Haba, Shamayim, and perfection, and Shemitah also represents a world which is going to be Yom Shekulei Shabbos, so too Tishrei is a glimpse of the world of Olam HaMachshava, which is totally perfect and is governed by Midas HaDin. But the Roish cannot live on its own. The Roish may be the mastermind behind a person's life, but if the Roish doesn't send its message to a lev, a heart, which begins to beat and pumps blood into the rest of the body, and if there is no human being that is capable of emoting and feeling with his heart, then there is not much of a human being. Nisan is when we start to feel the pulse of the Bria. And that's actually, like we said, the time that we begin the love song, the lev of Shir HaShirim. Tishrei is closer to Hashem because it's Nivdal. Nisan is closer to the Bria. That's the Aschala of the Bria. That's the Maral says. And the truth is, we know that years have to do with the sun. A year is defined as the time that the sun comes back to its original place. Months have to do with the moon. The month only has to do with the moon cycle. Nisan is the Roish L'chol HaChadoshim. Rishain Hu Lochem L'chot She'ashana. So Nisan is actually the Aschala in terms of the moon cycle. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah Lishanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as sun. Ki Shemesh Umagin Hashem Alekim, he is Nimshal to the Shemesh. What's closer to him is Tishrei, the Olam HaMachshava. Klal Yisrael is Moinim LaLavana, and therefore they begin in Nisan. The moon symbolizes reflection from the sun's light, because we are the Mekabel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shpa. But we can only be mekabel when there's existence, when you use the Midas HaRachmim to be mishtatif with the Midas HaDin, because otherwise there cannot be existence. And the Maral brings a fascinating medrash in the beginning of Mishlei. There's a machloikis between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Heichon ha-chochma mitzuya. Where can you find chochma? Rabbi Eliezer says beroish, and Rabbi Yeshua says belev. And this makes a lot of sense in light of everything we discussed. Because Rabbi Eliezer, who comes from Beis Shammai, whose shorish is Moshe, values the pure, unadulterated machshava, and he sees chochma samoyach as being the perfect chochma. Masha ein kein Rabbi Yeshua, who comes from Beis Hillel, whose shorish is Aaron, Rach of Esamach Beliboy, where's the choshin al halal? He values the Chochmas Halev, the integration of that perfect Chochma into the person, however compromising and imperfect it has to become. Says the Maral, this is also their machloikis when the Geula is going to be. Because the Geula is actually when the world will come to its state of perfection, and there's machloikis how that is going to be generated. Take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Zayin Mabez. There we have a very interesting machloikis. Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer says that if Klal Yisrael does tshuva, nigalim, v'im lav ein nigalim. If Klal Yisrael will be shav and become tzaddikim, then they will be zeichet to geula. If not, they will not. And there are various brises there explaining what the response Rabbi Yeshua has to Rabbi Lezer is. And one of the brises, Rabbi Yeshua says, it's not true. V'alek v'aynemer achinim nimkartem v'loy bekesef go'elu. It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. And Rashi explains, loy bekesef means loy betshuva omaisim toivim. Da'afilu einois in tshuva nig'olim. Klal Yisrael does not have to do tshuva in order to get to geula. And he brings various other psukim showing that Klal Yisrael does not have to do tshuva in order for the geula to come. In a different brisa, he actually responds to Rabbi Lezer by saying that if they don't do tshuva, the geula won't come. That may be true, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be mamet lehem melech, shegzeirois of koshis kahaman, v'yisrael oisin tshuva u'machzirin lamutev, and they'll eventually become better. Which means that al kaponim, through divine assistance, Klal Yisrael will get to where they need to go, and we don't need it to be coming from them, bisarusa de lisata. And this makes a lot of sense, because the Geula is the state of perfection of the Bria. And once again, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing whether Geula needs to come about through Midas Adin, Klal Yisrael has to be deserving of Geula, or if it could come even in an undeserving state. And of course, this is Lashitasam, because in our Gemara they argue whether B'nisan Asidin L'Higoyel or B'tishrei Asidin L'Higoyel. Is the Geula going to come about through Midas Adin, or is it going to come about not dafka through Midas Adin? It could come about even when we're undeserving. Just like creation itself, according to Belezer, requires uncompromising din, the perfection of creation, the geula, the final tachlis of creation, also needs uncompromising din. Masha'enkin Rabbi Yeshua holds that that's not the case. The geula will be as compromising and as accommodating as the bria itself. And the same machlokes we find by the Leda of the Avos. Chazal tell us in the pasuk of Ela Tolus Hashemayim Va'aretz, Behibar Am is Ba'osyes Avraham. Because the whole Briyas HaOlam was, as Rashi says in the beginning of his Pirush al HaTorah, Bereishis Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reishis. The others are the one that give justification to Briyas HaOlam. And just like we explained, that the day of Aleph Tishrei or Aleph B'Nisan, depending on who you hold like, was really the day of Briyas HaAdam, not the day of Briyas HaOlam. The others were the ones that restored the Tzuras HaAdam the way it was supposed to be. In fact, the Arizal says regarding the pasuk of Ayishlach Avram Es Yodai that it says by the Akedah that Avram Avinu was misaken the chet of Adam Arishin. Because by Adam Arishin it says that by the Eitzachayim, Pen Yishlach Es Yodai V'lokach Gam Eitzachayim V'ochel V'chay Lo'ilam. And Avram Avinu, through his behavior, by the Akedah, was misaken the chet of Adam Arishin. And it actually says that the Tzura of Yaakov, that's Tachas Kisei HaKavod, is the Tzura of the Adam HaSholem. So certainly Avram and Yaakov, which according to Rashi, those are the two that were noldu, B'Tishrei according to Rabbi Elazar, and B'Nisan according to Rabbi Yeshua, were the ones that take the place of Adam Arishin. As far as Yitzchak, who everybody agrees was born on Pesach, which does come somewhat as a surprise, because Yitzchak is the one Av who symbolizes Midas HaDin, that's a lengthy discussion in and of itself. But suffice it to say that Yitzchak is actually the Av that stands for Tchias HaMesim. That's why Yitzchak's name comes from the Osius Keitz Chai, because Tchias HaMesim comes b'schusay. As Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only perform Tchias HaMesim b'schus Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the one who's going to have the taina to the Ribbono Shel Olam. When he says Banecha Chatu, he's the one that's going to say that they don't have much time to sin. They sleep half of the time, and they eat half of the time, etc. And this is because Yitzchak himself had a Tchias HaMesim, and his whole existence was one of Tchias HaMesim, because he didn't deserve to exist. His parents should not have had children, and Midas HaDin says that there should be no Yitzchak. That's why his whole existence is one big laughter. Laughter is what we respond with when we see something that should not be. And that's what Tchias HaMesim is, Oz Yemol Yitzchak Pinu, because those that actually died and were decomposed and should no longer exist will come back to life, which is what happens to the Bria during Pesach, and that's why we read the Haftorah on Pesach of the Atzamas HaYeveshes, the Tchias HaMesim. So it's really Gufa, because he stands for Midas HaDin and still exists, that he was born in Pesach, so as to symbolize the fact that even that which ought not to exist during the time of Pesach comes to life. Now, another thing in the Braisa that everybody agrees to, both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, is the fact that Yosef left the Beis HaAsurim in Tishrei. Now, the fact that Yosef left Beis HaAsurim in Tishrei is very significant, and in light of everything we discussed until now, it's very moving. Because the Maral explains this as well, that Yosef's leaving the Beis HaAsurim was really the beginning of Yosef's being Oyla Lemelucha. And the Maral explains that there were two Bechorim that Yaakov had. It was the Bechor of Leah and the Bechor of Rachel. Reuven was the Bechor of Leah, and Yosef was the Bechor of Rachel. Now, of course, we know that as far as the Bnei Leah, the Bechorah was taken away from Reuven, and the Malchus aspect of the Bechorah was given to Yehuda. So we're left with two Malachim. We're left with Yehuda and Yosef. And just like we explained that as far as the months, there is the first month, which is Nisan, and then there's the seventh month, which is Tishrei, says the Maral, Reuven is the first son. If you count starting with the Bnei Leah and continue with the Bnei Rachel, then Reuven is number one, and Yosef is number seven. And just like the Maral explained to us that Tishrei stands for Moyach, stands for the Rosh, and Nisan stands for the Lev, so too, Yosef, who is the seventh son, is the one whose malchus symbolizes the malchus of the Rosh and not the malchus of the Lev. The one who stands for the malchus of the Lev is Yehuda, who takes the place of Reuven. And this could be found, the idea that Yosef stands for the malchus hamoyach, the malchus haRosh, and Yehuda stands for the malchus haLev, in a number of svarim in Parshas Vayigash. Reb Tzadik HaKohen in the Pritzadik and in the Shem Yishmuel, and it's very nicely explained in the Sefer Argad Al Yo in Parshas Vayigash, when analyzing the Medrash that describes the meeting between Yosef and Yehuda. Because over there, the Medrash brings down the Pasuk, which is a Nevuah about La'asid Lavi, which says, Hine yamin boim no'om Hashem, v'nigash chayrish b'koitzer. The real meaning of the Nevuah is that La'asid Lavi, the process going from Harisha until Ktsira, meaning how quickly things take to grow, is going to be much shorter. But it's being used by the Medrash as a remez to the meeting between Yosef and Yehuda. And each one of the above Sfarim has a different way of explaining it, and the basic idea is as follows. We know that the Midah of Yosef is the Midah of Tzadik. Yosef was successful in withstanding temptation. Yehuda, on the other hand, is the idea of the Baal Tshuva. Yehuda succumbed but was capable of being Moideh. The Tzadik, in a certain sense, feels a sense of achievement because he was Mizgaber over the Yetzer. The Tzadik, on a certain level, is more Shaykh to Midas Hadin. Tzadik and Tzedek comes from the same root. The idea of Yehuda, on the other hand, and David HaMelech, who is the Mamshech of the Malchus of Yehuda, who is Hikim Oilu Shel Tshuva, is to recognize that we have nothing without the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything is done by him. And that's the Lashon of Yehuda, which comes from the same Lashon as Hoida'ah, which means to be Moideh, to be Mevatel yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's because of this that the Tzaddik is more connected to the Olam HaMachshava, because we already explained that Din has to do with the Olam HaMachshava. The tzaddik, who's more deserving, has to do with that world, the world of perfection. What the tzaddik gets is coming to him al pi din. Those who have fallen, however, have to ultimately come in touch with the world of Yeshuas, the world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at work all by himself without Isarusa de Lisata. Yosef is called Lekodkoid Nizir Echov, Tavoisa Leroish Yosef. Everything about Yosef has to do with the Roish. And Yosef was successful in being Koitzer. Being Koitzer, metaphorically speaking, is to harvest and achieve and reap the produce of that which you deserve. Yehuda, on the other hand, is Nimshal to Chayrish. Chayrish is the process in which we soften the karka. As the Gemara says, it's refuye ara. It's there to soften the karka. It's the idea of bittel so that you could later on do the zriya. That's why David HaMelech in Tehillim says, Anoichi teilas v'loi ish. His whole metzias is one of bittel. As opposed to Yosef, who's Avoida is one of achievement. Furthermore, says the Argad Al Yohu, Avoidas Yosef hu shesichlo yiyen nivdal michumrius. His avoida is that his seichel should be separated from chumrius, from Gashmi, and that his seichel should not be mushpa umishuchid meritzaynis hachomriyim shebe adam. And he says that's what ktsira is. Koitzer, the Melechus ktsira, is to be toilish lahavdil hachomer mechiburoi v'yinikasoi. Separate the chomer from its mokim yinika. And he says at the end of his piece, nimtzenu lemeidim shemideseim shal Yosef Yehuda shoinim zemize. Yehuda bechinas leiv vehergish. Yosef bechinas seichel umoyach. And that's what the Medrash means when it says, kihine hamalachim Noyadu Avru Yachtav, that the two Malachim were fighting with each other. The two Malachim were Yosef and Yehuda. Yosef and Yehuda were each a melech on something else. So the fact that Yosef left the Beis Asurim, which we explained was the beginning of his being Oyla L'Melucha, on Tishrei, on Aleph B'Tishrei and Rosh Hashanah, doesn't come as a surprise at all. Because the whole idea of Yosef's Melucha is the Melucha of the Rosh Yosef, L'kodkoid Nazir Echav, the Melucha of the Moyach, of the Rosh, which is Shayach to Tishrei, which is Shayach to Midas Hadin, and requires Isarusa de Lasata, it requires the hard work of the Tzaddik, who overcomes his Yetzer and deserves what he gets. Now, just to give a little Tosefes Hesber, why it is that Yosef is the one who's keneged the Moyach, he's keneged the Rosh, and Yehuda is the one who's keneged the Lev, we can understand that very simply when we analyze the roots of Yosef and Yehuda. Because Yosef, like we said, is the Bechor of Rachel. Yehuda is the one who took over the Malchus from the Bechor of Leah. Rachel and Leah themselves represent two different aspects of Yaakov Avinu, because each one was a zivug of a different dimension of Yaakov Avinu. Meaning to say, on the pasuk of Enei Leah Rakois, Rashi explains that Leah used to cry. The reason why she would cry is because people used to say that Lavan has two daughters and Yitzchak and Rivka have two sons. The older son is supposed to marry the older daughter, and the younger son is supposed to marry the younger daughter, which means that Leah saw herself as being the zivug of Esau, and Rachel was supposed to be the zivug of Yaakov. And that's why Leah used to cry. She didn't want to marry Esau. Now, why was it that Leah was meant to be the zivug of Esau? Was it just because people thought that the older one should marry the older daughter, or was there something more to that? The answer could be found in the Avodas Yisrael and Parshas Vayetze. And we'll give a small hakdama. Many Mefarshim ask, why was it that Yitzchak wanted to give the brachas to Esav as opposed to Yaakov? Says Hashem Yishmuel in Parshas told us that Yaakov was the Ishtam Yoshev Eholim. He sat and learned Torah. He was much less shayach to Olam Hazeh than Esav. He was the Tzadik Gomer. Yitzchak knew that in order for Klal Yisrael to exist, there has to be the potential for Nefila, and ultimately for tshuva. He thought Esav would be a perfect candidate to be the one to bring about the future of Klal Yisrael, because the giloy of Hashem's Malchus, Lasid Lavoi, is going to come just as much through the Balei Tshuva as it is from the Tzadikim Gemurim. Says the Pre-Tzadik in Parshas told us, what ultimately convinced Yitzchak that the person in front of him was worthy of the brachis is it says, Vayarech es reach begodov. And Chazal say, Al tikri reach begodov ela boigdov. Boigdov means the Poishi Yisrael, the people that were over the worst sins. And he saw that even those people are capable of coming back to Kedusha. And Yaakov had it within himself to be the father, not only of the Tzadikim Gemurim, but even of the Balei Teshuvah. And the truth is that by taking Esav's Begadim, he was taking over that Chelek of Esav. Now the fact that originally Rachel was supposed to be the Zivug of Yaakov, and Leah was supposed to be the zivug of Esav, is because the pasuk says, when describing Rachel, Vayamri hinei ba'oil, she was shayach to the ishtam yoshev aholim, she was more spiritual than Leah. Leah, it says, Vateitzi Dina bas Leah, Dina went out, she was the bas Leah, says Rashi, because Leah was also the one who goes hasodeh lekrosi, she was shayach to the ish sodeh, yedeh tzayid ish sodeh, that Esav was. So it comes out that Rachel was really the zivug of the original Shem Yaakov, of the part of Yaakov that was the Ishtam Yoshev Aholim, and Leah was the Zivug of the second Chiluk which Yaakov took over from Esav, from which the Balei Tshuva come. So now we understand very well why it is that Yosef is the Tzadik Gomer and Yehuda is Shayach to the Balei Tshuva, because the Bnei Rachel and the Bnei Leah serve different roles. The Bnei Rachel are the Mamshich of the Shem Yaakov, of the part of Yaakov which he was originally, and the Bnei Leah are the Mamshichim of the second half of Yaakov. One more thing that we learn in the Braisa, and everybody agrees about, is the fact that on Rosh Hashanah, an Aleph B'Tishrei, Batla Avoida Me'aviseinu B'Mitzrayim. Meaning that the Shibud Mitzrayim, the fact that we had to work for the Mitzrayim, stopped 6 months before the actual Geula. The Geula took place in Nisan, but the Shibud stopped already on Tishrei. Now the reason why this is true, why the Avoida itself stopped already in Tishrei, says the Ein Yaakov, because the whole reason why Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim was because of the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. Even though at the time of the Bris Ben Absarim was already told to Avram Avinu, Kigeri Yezaracha Be'eretz Lelehem Va'avodim Ve'inu Oysam Arba Me'ashana, etc., nevertheless, the catalyst that brought about the Shib Mitzrayim was Mechiras Yosef. It even says in the story, when the Shvatim sold Yosef, Eishlecheu Me'ei Mekhevrein, that Yaakov sent Yosef Me'ei Mekhevrein, Chazal Darshan, that here he was putting to action the Eitzah of Oysi Tzadik HaKovur Bechevrein, meaning Avram Avinu. And he says that since Yosef left the Beis HaAsurim on Rosh Hashanah, so his Shibud ended on Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, it was at that time that the Avoida, the working for Mitzrayim, ended. And this is actually Mavura in the Maral, in the Haggadah, that there were two aspects to the Shibud Mitzrayim. The Shibud governed our Seichel, and it also governed our Guf. Our Guf didn't leave until Nisan, because that is the Chelek of our Metzias, which is Shayach to Olam Hazeh, and like we said, things that happen in Nisan are Shayach to Olam Hazeh. Masha Enkein, the part of our Metzias, our Seichel, that was also Meshubid to Mitzrayim, the Das was in Golus, that Golus ended in Tishrei, because Tishrei is Shayach to the Olam HaMachshava. That chelik of our shibud began only with the Havan Ischak Maloi. Klal Yisrael's guf was already in Mitzrayim from before, but once we had a melech asher lo yoda es Yosef, Yosef is the one who's keneged the machshava, that's when the shibud on our seichel began. So, of course, it makes sense that on Rosh Hashanah, the chelik of our shibud that was shaykh to the seichel finished completely, even though the chelik that was shaykh to our guf still wasn't finished, so our guf still remained in Mitzrayim. There's an interesting kasha that the Turi Evan asks on our Gemara. The Gemara says in Erevin, and daf mem gimel mit aleph, that if a person says Hareini Nazir biyoyim she ben David ba, he mekabel on himself Naziris on the day that Mashiach will come. So it says in the Gemara over there that it's mutter for him to drink yayin on Shabbos and Yom Tov because Eliyahu HaNavi will not come on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov. And therefore, we know Mashiach is not going to come on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because Eliyahu HaNavi has to come the day before Mashiach comes. However, the rest of the week, he is Aser in Yayin, because any day could, after all, be the day that Mashiach will come. Asks the Turi Evan, and it should be Aser for him to drink only during Tishrei or during Nisan, whichever month you hold is the month that Mashiach is going to come. Why is it Aser for him to drink Yayin in the rest of the months of the year? Answers the Turi Evan to his kasha that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua are only talking about the time of the Geula, which is called Be'ita. Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadiches Amid Aleph, darshins the pasuk of Be'ita Achishena, that if Klal Yisrael is Zoyche, then Hashem will hurry up the Geula and not wait until its programmed time of Be'ita. Achishena means that he will quicken the Geula. So B'Tishrei or B'Nisan Asidin Lihigoyel has to do with that Be'ita, when the program for the Geula is. But Achishena could be any time. And that's how it's possible to be Mekayim Achakloi B'chol Yoyim Sheyavoy. If you hold like Rabbi Elazar or Rabbi Yeshua, how do you have Achakloi B'chol Yoyim Sheyavoy? You can't wait for Mashiach every day. You know he's either going to come in Nisan or in Tishrei. The Teretz is that Achishena could be any time. However, the Aruch Liner and the Sfasemis say that the Geula and the Bia of Mashiach are two separate things. Now, which one comes first? So the Aruch Liner says that from the Seder of the Brachis of Shemini Esrei, which Gemara is Mesader in Megillah Daf Yud Zayin, you see that Kibbutz Goliyos comes before Bias Mashiach, because first we have the Bracha of Mekabetz Nitchei Am Yisrael, and then only later we have the Bracha of Es Tzemach David. However, according to that, you have the Turi Evans Kasha anytime, because once you tell me that Kibbutz Goliath has to precede Bias HaMashiach, so Kol Zman that we haven't yet had Kibbutz Goliath, a person should be able to drink Yayin, because he knows that Ben David's not coming today, we didn't yet have Kibbutz Goliath. So because of this Kasha, he says that it's the opposite, and he brings a Zohar in Parsha Shmois that says that Mashiach is going to come before the Geula. And the Sfasemis says, just like Moshe Rabbeinu came before the Geula, he was Megal himself to Klal Yisrael, so too it's going to happen in the Geula Hasidah. In the Sefer Ben Yehoyada over here, he asks the Kasha as well, and he gives the Teretz that Kibbutz Goliath is going to be after Bias HaMashiach, just like the Aruch Liner says. Now, similarly, the Turi Evan is medayik from our Gemara that, Bain according to Belezer, Bain according to Yeshua, it seems that they hold that the Geula is going to be on Yom Tov. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it's going to be on the night of Pesach, because it says, Leil Shimurim Hu. And that's what he learns from Leil Shimurim, as the Gemara says. And so too, Rabbi Elazar learns from the Gzeirah Shavah Shofer Shofer. So that's going to be on Yom Tov. Ask the Turi Evan that the Gemara that we just quoted from Erevin says that Ben David is never going to come on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because Eliyahu HaNavi cannot come on Erev Shabbos because of Teirach, because it's too much Tircha. So how could it be that Mashiach is going to show up on Yom Tov, on Rosh Hashanah or on Pesach? Answers the Turi Evan the same way that he answered the other question, which is that the whole idea that Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov, and that Ben David is not going to come on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that's all about the Geula of Achishena. If Klal Yisrael Zoyche, but in the Geula of Be'ita, then Ben David could come so as not to push off the Kates one bit. Says the Turi Evan, then we're back Shver with the Kasha from the Gemara in Erevin. How is it possible for a person to drink Yayin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Maybe this is the Be'ita. And from the Lashon of the Gemara, it's mashba that even on the Yom Tov Pesach, he's allowed to drink Yayin. So for Rabbi Yeshua's Shita, he answers that it's mashba that it's only Leil Shimurim that Ben David is going to come, Be'ita. And the din that it says in the Gemara in Erevin that the Nazir, who says, Arein Nazir, B'yoyim Shem, and David Ba is only on the Yoyim. So in the day of Pesach, it would be mutter for him to drink Yayin, but he would not be allowed to drink Yayin at night. Take a look in the Turi Evan and our sugya for the rest of his discussion on this topic. He has a tremendous arichas in which he discusses all the possible tzadim.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.